सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांति। So today we'll do the important verses of chapter 1 and 2. Some of the important verses of chapter 1 and 2. The very first verse of the Gita, the first verse of chapter 1, is very important as you can see. It starts with the word dharma. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyotsavaha mamaka pandavaschaiva kima kuruvata sanjaya. It starts with Dhritarashtra's questioning Sanjaya, requesting Sanjaya to report to him as to what's happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is miles away from where they are seated. So Dhritarashtra speaks and says, Dharma Kshetre. The word that Gita is started with is Dharma. See, anybody gets into mental disturbance only when he strays away from his or her dharma. If you remain in your dharma, if you do what is righteous in the context, it is impossible that you will get agitated. This is the first and last lesson we learn in Vedanta. That is why Vedanta, we call it as a very, very difficult pill to swallow. Because Vedanta is going to tell us that if you are agitated, it is because of your attitude towards the world. If you are happy, that is also because of your attitude towards the world. So it says, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre, assembled on the sacred field of Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra, the field of action, the field where they were having the battle. Kuru means do. Kurukshetra, action. Kurukshetra, field of action. It's called as Dharma Kshetra because every warrior is doing his duty on the field of action. So even though they are fighting, but they are doing their duty, hence it's called as Dharma Kshetra. So when whichever field in which we are working now currently, that happens to be our dharma, we should simply do it and do our dharma also dharmically. In the sense, when the ego interferes in our action, even though we may be doing actions with reference to our swadharma, our nature, but there we might be functioning with ego, egoistic attitude and egocentric desire. Even then we are flouting dharma. So dharma kshetra will become kurukshetra. The field of peace will become field of war if you don't give in to dharma. So the most important thing is, you must follow dharma. Don't worry whether others are following dharma or not. But if you do not follow dharma, because many times the question is, sir, lot of people don't follow dharma, what is the point in me alone following dharma? Right? So dharma, if you follow, you cannot have any agitations, any mental disturbance. And most important thing in life is to have that mind which is peaceful, calm all the time. Only a serene mind can allow the intellect to think. And only a person who is thoughtful and wakeful can do an action which is progressive in nature. So for both material and spiritual progress, one has to remain peaceful. And that is only possible by following your dharma. So we say, the last verse of Gita ends with the word mama, The first words of the Gita begin with the word dharma. So dharma and mama are the two words between which the entire Gita is sandwiched. So my dharma, who am I essentially? So any action that takes me towards my original nature is what I am supposed to do. Any action that will take me away from my original nature, I have to step aside and not do it. So the goal of every human being is to get back to his origin, his original nature. And how do you get back to your original nature? By following your dharma. The dharma means, the dharma of the sugar is sweetness. Without the sweetness, the sugar will not be what it is. So without that component, you will not be what you are. And that is your dharma. And that is your essential nature, Atman, divinity, etc. To attain the divinity, you must follow your nature, so dharma. Whether you are a carpenter or an engineer, whoever you might be, housewife, follow your dharma without egocentric desires and egoistic attitude. This is the way to get to the origin. So here Dhritarashtra, out of his curiosity, which is built by his attachment to his sons, is asking, tell me what happened between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And then Duryodhan walks up to his guru Dronacharya. Sanjaya is reporting to Dhritarashtra that Duryodhan walked up to his guru Drona, and then he spoke very modestly, as if he was very modest. It was a false modesty. It is clearly exposed in verse number 10. Verse number 10 is again a very interesting verse. In verse number 10, he says, this army of ours protected by Bhishma is unlimited, whereas that army of theirs protected by Bhima is limited. It is very interesting to note that Arjuna is Duryodhana is choosing, when he says his army, he says our army is protected by Bhishma. But why does he say their army is protected by Bhima? Just think about it. He doesn't say protected by Krishna, not Arjuna, but he says Bhima. He is not somebody who thinks and wavers. So therefore he is understood that Arjuna might think and waver, and Krishna has accepted me, is just charioteer. So he didn't think much of Krishna. Right? And also Krishna's level is much subtler, that Duryodhan could not assess him correctly. But he has assessed Arjuna very well. Since he is a thinking and wavering type, he knew that he might leave the battle. But Bhima is not the case with Bhima. He is not going to give up, right? So he says, our army is protected by Bhishma is unlimited. The words used is aparyaptam and paryaptam in Sanskrit. Aparyaptam means unlimited, as it is translated here. But aparyaptam also has another meaning, which is insufficient. Paryaptam is translated here as limited. It also has another meaning called sufficient. Now you replace that second meaning here and read the words. It's very interesting to note. This army of ours protected by Bhishma is insufficient, whereas that army of theirs protected by Bhima is sufficient. If you read it that way, it's very interesting, the choice of words. Why we say this here? Because anybody who is destructive in nature will not feel secure in life. In spite of all the innumerable quantity of things he has in life, his standard of living may be very, very high, but his standard of life will be very poor. Please understand the difference between life and living.
Anybody who is destructive in nature
cannot feel secure in life. Anybody who is constructive in nature, they will feel secure in life, immaterial of their standard of living. When a tiger is chasing a deer in the forest, it is trying to make a living. When the deer is running from the tiger, it is trying to make a life. Tiger is trying to make a living. Deer is trying to make a life. So tiger is trying to make a living, deer is trying to make a life. So similarly, we can have innumerable things around us, but deep inside, if we have selfishness, destructive nature, then in spite of our standard of life, a standard of living being high, our standard of life will be still poor. Ravana had everything, but he felt insecure. He felt very poor. So it is not what you have, it is what you are that matters. It is not what you have, but it is what you are that matters in life. But unfortunately today, the so-called education is trying to go after things rather than being. The main purpose of education is human making, not material making. But today, what do we do with our certificates? You take your certificate, go through the interview, get a job, and the job can fetch you money. With money you can get things. So you can have things around you, but if you are destructive or selfish, if you are a person who is a taker, taker, taker in any context, then in spite of things around you, you would still feel insecure. This is what happened to Duryodhana. They had 11 battalions, the Kauravas. Right? Whereas Pandavas had only
seven
battalions. When Duryodhana is speaking, he is using the word aparyaptam, which means what? Our army is unlimited. So in other words, what he is saying is, even though it is unlimited, he still feels insecure. That is the other meaning of the word aparyaptam, insufficient. Whereas their army is limited, and yet it is sufficient. See, remember, strength can come only from within. Any strength that comes from outside forces, it means what? You are a weak person. The more the reliance on the outside factor, the more weak you are. All the time you need to be protected by your bodyguards and all these people, right? And Mahatma Gandhi walked up to the northern frontier to talk to these people and said, please give up your arms. Let us fight in a ahimsic way, you know. They said, are you not scared? I am not scared. You are scared? No, I am not scared. See, you guys are scared, that's why you have guns. Do I have guns? I don't even wear a shirt. No bulletproof, nothing. Immediately they fell at his feet and became his disciples. That is that Khan Abdul Ghaffar Khan and all those people. The northern frontier Gandhi, you know, it's called as frontier Gandhi. See, in other words, we today rely on outside factors. What Vedanta says is, outside factors should be a decorative pieces. Let it be there, if at all it is there, like a decorative piece. But the reliance should be on Atma. But we rely on everything outside because we do not know anything about our Atma. So, this is a very important verse in that sense. So Duryodhana, having 11 Akshavanis, so many people and all that, he still feels insecure. So this is why I say this verse is very important. It is conveying this message that it is not what you have, but what you are that matters. Character building is very, very important. If you build a strong character with your children, in your children, with strong values, then it really doesn't matter whatever property you might give them, whatever other things you might give them, maybe less or more, doesn't matter. It will always be found wanting, right? Even if you give $1 million, compared to somebody else, it will be less. So it's never going to be enough. So what is important is to build that strong character within. Once a person is only given to action, not to profit or loss, it really doesn't matter whether his account balance is increasing or decreasing, because he will continue to go to work with same cheer. So that is what we learn from this verse. Now, seeing this very low spirit of Duryodhan, to cheer him up, in verse 12, which is another interesting verse, the mighty grandsire, the aged Kuru, raising a lion's roar, blew his conch to cheer him up. Now, it is very significant to note that Bhishma is the one who starts blowing the bugle first. By declaring the war, the Kauravas announced that let us start the war, right? So in other words, Pandavas never started the war. The war was started by the Kauravas. So here is where I remind you of Shakespeare's quotation in Polonius' advice to Laertes in his play Hamlet, where he says, "Beware of entrance to a quarrel. Being in, beareth that thy enemy beware of thee." You don't start the war, you don't start the argument, anything. But you are facing a situation, then make sure that your enemy is beware of thee. Don't run away, don't show your back. Face it. Even Jesus Christ says, "Iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause." If you create the iniquity, if you are the cause of the iniquity, then you have to pay for it. But iniquity will be there. So you don't be a warmonger. You should make sure that you are not the person who is interested in war. But if war is thrusted upon you to protect the righteousness, to do your duty, you don't run away from it, you face it cheerfully. So this is what we are reminded of. And after Bhishma blew his conch, then everybody else blew their conch from Pandava side, etc. Then comes another interesting verse where Arjun is telling Krishna, "Sena yoru bhayor madhye ratam sthapayame achyuta," in verse 21. He says, "Take my chariot and place it in between both the armies." Sena yoru bhayor madhye, between the two armies, in between the two armies, place my chariot. This "my chariot" is the problem. Huh? In life, what is the problem? Chariot is not the problem. "My" is the problem. This is the difference between Mahatma and Ajnani. Ajnani attributes everything to himself. Jnani attributes everything to the divinity. So, "my chariot, take it and place it in between both the armies," says Arjun to Krishna. Then Krishna, smiling as it were, he took the chariot and placed it in between both the armies, as he was told. But he very strategically placed it in front of Bhishma and Drona. Verse 25. In front of Bhishma, Drona and all the rulers of earth said, "O Partha, behold these Kurus gathered together." So what he is doing is, now the education actually started. In fact, I would say, if you want to say, in a very indirect way, Bhagavad Gita started in verse 25, chapter 1. Direct way, it started in 11, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 11. But now, indirect way, Lord Krishna started the education. Krishna was just told, take the chariot and place it in between both the armies. But what does he do? Very quietly, takes the chariot, places in between both the armies. Firstly, placing it between both the armies symbolizes, one side is Kaurava army, which is the evil propensity, which is symbolizing the evil propensity. And the other side is Pandava army, which is symbolizing the good propensities. We have both these propensities within us. And usually evil is more in number. Good is very less in number. What Krishna is educating us here is, you should neither take the side of the evil, nor take the side of the good. You should take the side of what ought to be done. I may have good propensities. I may want to give money to beggar, but in the context, maybe the right thing to do is not to give, by which you don't make the person dependent on you. So don't take the side of good nor the side of bad, but the side of what ought to be done in the context. And secondly, Arjun said, take the chariot and place it between both the armies, so that I would like to see you all have come to please Duryodhan. Now he is taking the chariot and placing it right in front of Bhishma and Drona, by which he is telling, they have not come here to please Duryodhan. They have come here to do their duty. So you must also emulate them. That is the lesson here. What is the lesson? Emulate Bhishma, Drona. Even though personally they are not on the side of Duryodhan, but because the duty according to them bids them to be on that side, they are simply executing it without any thought, I am right, nothing of that. In the context they felt that their duty is to fight them, they are fighting. That's all. So you must rise above your selfishness and selfish ego and do what is right in the context by emulating Bhishma and Drona. This is very important. Well, many times what happens, if it is favorable to us, then we will be on the side of Dharma. If it is not favorable, we may not take the side of Adharma, but what we will do? We will run away from Dharma. This is another interesting thing. Like you see in politics also, they say we are abstaining from voting. They will not cast the vote against, but they will abstain. It is indirect way of knowing, not expressing, you know, coming to the parliament and saying, yes, we don't agree with you, therefore we have to cast against him. But they will not do that. So here Krishna is saying, they felt that personally they don't agree, but they are soldiers belonging to the Kaurava side. They are not the decision makers. When the government has declared war, or when a neighboring country is fighting against us, and the government feels that we should retaliate back, and the war is declared, now the chief can't say, I'm sorry, I don't agree, so we should not go and fight. You simply do your duty. As a soldier, whatever you have to do, you do. This is the message we get in verse 25. But obviously Arjuna did not get this message. Now another important thing I want to say here is, remember, always teach indirectly, never directly. Very rarely you will have a situation where you might have to teach directly. Swami Raptita says, lecture to yourself, not to others. Lecture to yourself, not to others. Krishna was not sermonizing Arjuna because Arjuna was not asking for his sermon now. So who would he speak to? Vedanta says, knowledge is never given, it is taken. Knowledge is never given, it is taken. Arjuna has not become his disciple. Krishna simply indirectly told him, follow Bhishma and Drona. Now Arjuna obviously did not get it. He succumbed to his emotions. And when he succumbed to his emotions, when his self-esteem was so low, what happened? In verse number 30, very famous verse, Gandivam samsrate hasta tvakchaiva paridakhyate. Gandiva slips from my hand. Gandiva slips from my hand is said by whom? Arjun. It is like Roger Federer saying, I am not able to hold the racket. It's like that. Huh? It's like Tendulkar saying, I am not able to hold the cricket bat. Number one in the field of archery. Tremendous experience. He had fought many battles before. So a person like Arjuna, who had tremendous intelligence and experience, a beautiful combination of intelligence and experience, but succumbing to emotions, what happened to him? Became stressful. So what you see in verse 30 is nothing but symptoms of stress. So what does he say? Gandiva slips from my hand. Means what? Sweating. And my skin burns all over. You know, when you are stressed, you do have some skin irritation and skin problem also. My mind dwells as it were. It's spinning. My head is spinning. And I am not able to stand. My knees have become weak. I am not able to stand. So what happened? When the individual was so intelligent and so well experienced, gave into emotions, turned emotional due to his low self-esteem, he could not think properly, he could not act properly. He became totally incapacitated to act. So therefore we say, you should have emotions, but emotions should be under you. Should never turn emotional. If you don't have emotions, you are a piece of wood. If you have emotions but get affected by emotions, then you are an animal. But if you have emotions and the emotions are under your control, then you are a human being. So Arjuna succumbed. But now, having succumbed, Arjuna, being a rational person, thinking type, he wanted to justify his stance. Now he's decided. For him, the right thing to do is not fight this battle. Okay? But which means what? He wants to leave the battlefield. He wants to give a reason for it. This is what I said. If a high self-esteem person takes a decision, he is not going to give reason and he is not going to wait for others' sanction for it, approval for it. He'll simply do it. But Arjuna suffers from low self-esteem. Okay? So he wants others' approval. So he starts justifying his stance. He starts talking all sorts of things. Now he gives so many reasons and things like that. In 31 you will see, he says, I see adverse omens occasionally. I do not foresee any good in killing one's own kinsman in battle. Now when a person's mind is disturbed, then he starts getting into all sorts of superstitions. Usually when your mind is weak, you get into superstition. So this is another thing that we learn. And then in 32, I desire not victory, O Krishna, nor kingdom, nor pleasures. Of what avail is kingdom to us, O Govinda? Of what avail are enjoyments or life? This is a verse which Arjuna speaks out of rajasic renunciation. Nobody asked him, are you interested or not? He himself is talking. He is very much interested in the kingdom. But because the difficulty is there, he has to eliminate Bhishma and Drona. He is speaking as if he is not interested. This is called as rajasic renunciation. 32. Then Arjuna considers killing as sin, especially killing guru and great grandfather as sin. In other words, he considers action per se as sin. He has not understood the definition of sin correctly. So in verse number 36 and 37 he says, what pleasure is there in slaying the sons of Dhritarashtra or Janardana? Sin alone will accrue to us by killing these desperados. Therefore it does not behove us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, our relatives. For how can we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? See, on the battlefield you don't talk about our own kinsmen. Once you go to the office, even though it is father and son running the business, and father happens to be the chairman and son is the managing director, there it is chairman and managing director. There it is not father and son anymore. Having gone to the battlefield, Arjuna is still talking about what? My own relatives, my own friends. He has not become objective to the context. Objectivity means being present in the context. In the context, we are enemies. Outside the context, you may be relatives. Are you with me? Siblings, for some reason, whatever, if they ended up in the court. In the court, like if you see the you know, what is the word they use? Petitioner and something they use, right? So that's what you are. You will be husband and wife, but you are there in the court for divorce. So they call us petitioner and the other kinds of words. So that's what you've got to look into, you know. Objective to the context. Arjuna has lost his objectivity. That is very clear here. That's the problem. See, the problem is how we perceive. That's what I said. A low self-esteem person allows his mind to destroy his perception. Like when we did the retreat also, I showed that slide, you know. Our perception is limited by our mind. When the mind is conditioning us, to that extent our perception is also conditioned. When Krishna sees the same situation, he is seeing totally differently. When Arjuna sees, he is seeing differently. Why? He has conditions. Like a fellow who is suffering from jaundice, he sees anything yellowish because his eyes are conditioned. Similarly, the conditioning of our mind conditions our perceptions. And when we suffer from low self-esteem, we look at everything with that eyes, with that mind. So we look at everything with that limitation. This is the problem. How you perceive matters a lot. Objective person sees a solution in difficulty. Involved person sees difficulty even in a easy situation because he is involved. Once you lose that involvement and you become objective, then you see the picture as it is. So Arjuna's mind is colored. He doesn't see the picture as it is. That's the problem. That's what I'm trying to explain here. And that is very clear in verse 37. He says, our own kinsmen, my grandfather, my cousin brothers, my relatives, these are he speaking. Obviously his vision is conditioned. Perception is conditioned. And a person who became totally conditioned finally says, I will not fight. And sits down. Now interestingly in verse 47, the last verse of chapter 1, it is Sanjaya who is speaking. Having spoken thus in the battlefield, Arjuna sat down in the seat of the chariot, casting away his bow and arrow, with mind distressed with sorrow. He allowed the mind to get disturbed, because of which he became physically incapacitated. So these are the few important verses in chapter 1. Now the difficult task I have is in to pick the important verses in chapter 2. Because entire chapter 2 and 3 is important. That's why we spend so much time. But let us try and see few verses in chapter 2 and chapter 2 basically. Now in chapter 2, verse 2nd verse and 3rd verse, which Lord Krishna speaks, wherein I pointed out that Krishna whips up Arjuna. Kutastva kashmelamidam, kutastva kashmelamidam, shame samupastitam, anarya jushtam, ashwagyam, akirtikaram Arjuna. Klaibhyam masmagama partha naitad vayu papadyate, shudram hrudayadav balyam, khyatvo tishtap parantapa. Lord Krishna is whipping Arjuna. In a context like this, in a crisis, how have you fallen into such a low level, man? He doesn't say, oh Arjun, I can understand they are your cousin brothers. I can really feel very sad for you. Okay, if you want, we'll go back and take rest for 1 week and then come back. He doesn't talk all those, you know, such emotional words.
Which verse?
Second verse and third verse, chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Yes.
See, when somebody is sleeping inside the house and the house is on fire, how would you wake him up? Excuse me, sir, the house is on fire, so we would like to inform you. Would you talk like this?
No.
You will go and kick him and say, "Hey, Baba, get up, house is on fire." You understand? And the situation is so bad here, they tried all the methods to avert the war, and Duryodhana wouldn't listen, and therefore they ended up in the war. And now Arjuna is talking like this. You understand? So these are not the words to be spoken here. So Krishna whips up Arjuna and says, "Get up, man." In a crisis, whence has this dejection come upon you? Kashmalam. Kashmalam means mental impurity. When has this impurity come upon you? My, what is impurity? My relatives are there, therefore how can I write? You are a kshatriya. A kshatriya on the battlefield is not supposed to see whether the fellow who is opposite, arrayed opposite me, is my son or daughter or nothing. Kashmala means dirt. Mala means dirt, right? Kashmala means impurity. So, mental impurity in the context. Kutastva kashmala vidam. When has this mental impurity come upon you? In a crisis situation like this? Dejection? How has this dejection come? How did you give in to this personal attachment? Personal attachment is a problem. How did you allow such a thought in the context, man? Huh? That's what he's saying. When has this dejection come upon? In a wrong place and wrong time? Huh? When you have to be strong, there you are talking as if, what to do? You happen to be my cousin brother, so let me go away from the battlefield. See, many of us do this problem. We have this problem. With small kids, we'll be talking very logically. With adults, we'll be talking emotionally. Adults will say, "Get lost. I'm not listening to your emotional prattling here. Give me logic." Kids don't understand logic. Kids only understand emotions. So you must understand the context. See, out of context, if somebody is quoted, it may look bizarre. Certain things are said in a certain context. Similarly, there is a time to be emotional. There is a time to be logical. So here, in the context of a battlefield, what is the role that Arjuna is supposed to be playing? A kshatriya. Now here you are talking like this, that's what Arjuna is being asked by Krishna, unworthy of an Aryan. Anarya jishtam ashwargyam, you will not get heaven. Akirtikaram, this will bring you, you will lose all your fame and everything. Yield not to unmanliness, pusillanimity. Be a man, stand up and face the fight. O Partha, it does not befit you. Casting off this mean weakness of the heart, arise, O Parantapa. This is very important. Throughout the Gita, he keeps on saying, Uttishta, Uttishta, Uttishta. Uttishta means what? Arise, arise, arise. Weak people get involved. Arise means stand apart. You must stand apart and see what is the right thing in the context and then do accordingly. Then Arjuna justifies his stance by saying, how can I fight with Bhishma, Drona and all that? But in verse number 6, one verse before 7, in 7 he surrenders. And I consider 6 also is very important. He says, nor do we know which is better for us. Till now he was talking very sure. But in verse number 6, for the first time he admits, I am confused. It is very important to become aware of your confusion if you want clarity. Like Josh Billing says, the trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but their knowing so many things which ain't so. You understand that quotation? Everything is, I know, I know, I know, this is the problem, he says. The trouble with most folks is not their ignorance, not so much their ignorance, but they are knowing so many things which ain't so. So you must become aware of your ignorance. Arjuna became aware of his confusion for the first time. He says, nor do we know which is better for us, that we should conquer them or they should conquer us. The very sons of Dhritarashtra, whom having slain we do not wish to live, stand facing us. Now this confusion is a good thing that has happened, because he is aware of his confusion. That led him to his surrender. Surrender cannot happen unless you become aware of your ignorance. And the moment you become aware of your ignorance, what are you supposed to do? Simply go and surrender to somebody who knows.
Who?
Knows. If you have a legal problem, go to a lawyer. If you have a medical problem, go to a doctor. Usually in India, we treat ourselves for almost 10 days, 20 days, and then only we go to the doctor. Even, you know, things has to be dealt with the particular professional. No? You are ignorant. Am I knowledgeable in that field? No. So what am I supposed to do? Go to somebody who is knowledgeable and surrender. In the area of your ignorance, you must surrender. So Arjuna surrenders to Lord Krishna. This verse number 7 is very, very important. He says, Karpanya dosho pahata swabhavah. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhavah. Prichamitvam dharma sammuda chetah. Prichamitvam dharma sammuda chetah. Yashreyasya nishchitam bruhitanme. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. See the way he surrenders. My nature is overpowered by the taint of pity. Karpanya dosha. Karpanya dosha means helplessness. I am trapped. If I run away from the battlefield, I am not doing the duty of a kshatriya. Right? I am committing a sin. But if I stand and fight, then am I not killing my guru? Is that not sinful? I am trapped. Do you feel trapped many times like this? Unless a person feels trapped many times like this, in all those contexts, he is not going to seek for solution. Arjuna for the first time felt that he doesn't know what to do in the context. And very openly admits, my mind confused as to duty, I ask thee. As to duty means what? Am I supposed to stand here and fight? Not bother about killing my guru? Or killing guru is the worst sin, so I must leave the battlefield. Which is the right thing to do? Are you with me? I'm confused. See, a person like Arjun, who is being looked up by everybody, openly admits, I am confused. How many of us have that courage to admit? To become a Shishya is not an ordinary joke, let me tell you. Shishya has to have lots of guts. No guru will declare that he is a guru. Any guru who declares that he is a guru is not a guru. And any Shishya who doesn't declare that his Shishya is not a Shishya. Please understand the meaning of this. Guru is not going to be declaring, I am the Guru, please come and surrender to me. But a Shishya has to understand that he is a Shishya. He has to admit that I don't know. It's not easy. And that to a person like Arjun, where so many people look up to him, and all these people are assembled on the battlefield on either side, and dare to admit that I don't know, is it easy? But he still does it. He says, Prichamitvam dharma sammuda cheta.
Krishna
is
confused.
Krishna is never confused. Krishna has not even spoken. He only said in a context.
God does that and we confused.
No, he never confused.
It's like confused. Meaning you talk to yourself only. God is you talk to yourself. So it's your own conscience.
You are in confusion. You should have surrender. If you have surrender, then clarity will come. If you don't surrender and think that I know how to handle, then you only create more problems for yourself. In fact, usually we do this. What do? In confusion, we do all sorts of things. And we complicate the whole thing. And then finally you go to the doctor and say, somehow save me. This is the worst thing that you are supposed to say to the doctor or a lawyer. First of all, even if they want to help you, they cannot help you because they can help you, but it's complicated now. Right? What are you doing?
So I think if you're truthful, physically.
Absolutely.
Then everything, there's a solution to it.
Arjuna was truthful, no? That's why he he became.
Because he was truthful, he could say I'm confused, so he could say.
Absolutely. Because he was truthful, he went and sat next to Krishna's feet. See, that itself is a very important lesson for all of us. When both Arjun and Duryodhan went up to Krishna to ask his help, to ask him to fight on their side, Duryodhan went and sat next to Krishna's head. Arjun went and sat next to Krishna's feet. Hear me. Duryodhan is a symbol of arrogance. Arjuna is a symbol of humility and devotion. Finally, what saved him is that humility and devotion. Arrogance, you are finished. And Krishna came to the side of Arjuna because of that. Duryodhan got all the arms and ammunition, but he lost the battle. Now anyway, in the context here, Arjun openly admits, I am confused.
But one thing I am amazing truthfulness. So, many times we are seeing that a combination of arrogance coming out of insecurity and fear, manipulation, lies, deceit is winning hands down.
Yeah, that's happening.
It's happening in this today.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere.
What do you do? Just stand, Guruji, and you surrender also. Maybe it's not complete surrender. But you just have to. What do you do?
You don't do anything because in life, you remember the discussion that we've had before about people who are of Duryodhan nature using the head. They are negative people, but they are using the head.
And they are winning.
Of course, they are manipulating because they are using the subtler equipment. When I say surrender, what do I mean? Surrender does not mean go and sit and cry so that Ganesha will come in on the rat and then come and save you. Dekho. Firstly, surrender means what? Let us understand this concept of surrender correctly. Because lot of us misunderstand this concept of surrender. Surrender does not mean I passively submit myself. Surrender simply means I completely become aware that in the context I don't know what is the right thing to do. So what do? I go to somebody whom I believe will be able to guide me. And openly say to a lawyer. That's why they say, no? To a lawyer and to the doctor, don't say lies. Even if you happen to kill somebody, go and tell the lawyer as it is, they say. Then only he will be able to fight for you and get you the least punishment at least. Are you with me? If you give him wrong facts, how can he help you? So present the facts. And then what? He's going to give you guidance, right? Then accordingly act. If you don't do that, then obviously, so when Arjun surrendered to Krishna, Krishna, whatever methods Krishna suggested, Arjun followed and finally won the battle. So to be able to handle vicious, haughty thinking category of people, manipulative people, you need to be objective That's why I say, generally in my class, it is not enough to be good. You have to be aggressively good. Remember, fittest only will survive. Who will survive? Fittest only will survive. If you are using the mind and somebody else is using the intellect, who will survive? They may, see, finally, they may lose everything and they may destroy themselves. Through the manipulation, they may get quantity, but they destroy themselves, all that may happen. But what you are talking about is, in the worldly life, many things they manipulate and they get it. What should rightfully come to you? So there is no point sitting and crying.
It's not just things, it's not material,
it's not emotional.
Everything.
It's out of control.
Everything, that's what I'm talking about.
That's not how do we solve it.
We all have to solve it.
You can't change them.
Yeah, you can't solve
you become strong from inside. If you are weak, Deko, please understand this. Lakshmi doesn't want to come to somebody who is weak. Lakshmi wants to be with Narayan, who is a strong person. By law, you must become strong. You don't say, I will continue to be weak. What? You understand what I'm saying? Become strong. How? You may not be strong now by yourself. So take the help of somebody else, but simultaneously continue to strengthen yourself. When we say surrender, we don't mean that you surrender permanently. You go to a lawyer.
You can also become quietly firm.
So I'm saying, you remember earlier we've spoken, be soft but firm.
Yeah.
I've said this before also, be soft but firm. This is also again said by Shakespeare. Aggressive does not mean going and opening your hair and then shouting with that fellow. This is not what I mean as becoming like Kaikeyi or Surpanakha. This is not what I mean as aggressive. Aggressive means use of intellect. Use of intellect.
First become conscious.
Aggressive means use of intellect. Passive means non-use of intellect. Okay. So, first thing the intellect understands is, am I qualified enough to handle it myself? Or do I need the help of a lawyer?
Why does this happen to women more than the men in the house? That the women feel short-changed, is that because they cannot really talk either to the men or to the other women in the family? Or is it between the two, the ladies of the family, that normally, it is not jealousy when you think about it from your point of view, but you feel shortchanged that, it's just gone, what did I do wrong, where did that lead, where did that come from? But the brothers or the father and the sons, it's never between them, they always say that it's the women who have these issues. Why is that?
This is nothing to do with women or men. It is to do with faint-heartedness. Lot of men, faint heart, weakness within. If between brothers also, sometimes may say, one brother is somebody who is very passive. So the other brother took away everything. Don't they talk like this?
With the wife, chada.
It's nothing to do. The context is different. No, please understand.
No, I'm saying that normally. Fortunately for me, I am not in business
family.
But
no, in the same way, you are blowing hot and cold from your own example. First you said women are weak. Now the next thing... One minute. First you said women are the one usually suffering. The next thing when I gave this example, then you said because of that woman...
No, they are not suffering. I am saying it is happening.
Exactly. So in other words, what you said in the next thing, because one woman is smart, isn't that what you said? Second time. When I gave the example of... It has got nothing to do with women or men. It's nothing to do with women or men. It is to do with the weakness of the heart. Please understand this. Please understand this. If a woman is brought up weak and she is also not strengthened herself in the process, she will be weak. If the same thing for a man, he will be weak. So many families, I know this, between brothers also, one brother happens to be somebody who is very passive. So everybody bully him. And they take away everything. So, haven't you heard such stories? So, in this context, I would rather not discuss as men or women. In generally, 1 minute, generally, what happened till now, now things are changing with education, women getting educated, women getting financial freedom, financial independence, things are changing. Okay? It is not the same thing that is happening now. Earlier days, women probably were more submissive because she lacked education, right education, and the society was also more of men dominated and things like that. But this is not the same case now anymore.
At least let's look at women.
Exactly. So therefore, how you must understand this? That's what I said. Only fittest will survive. So what is this showing? This is good thing that is happening to you. If I were you, I will understand it as good thing. Why? Because this is exposing to me that I am still weak. If I am weak, what am I supposed to do? Strengthen myself. So what are you supposed to do? Develop your intellect. You are already in the process. Right? But in some specific context, still your intellect is being developed, you might have to take the help of aggressively good people. And then do it. There may come a time when your intellect is developed by itself and you need not take help from others. But in specific context, you must take. So therefore, in other words, what I am trying to say is, you, I am not saying you also become manipulative, but you also start using the tool of intellect.
No, but what is different between manipulative and diplomatic?
Manipulative is selfish.
And diplomatic is?
Diplomatic is unselfish, selfless.
No.
No means
how I'm trying to ask you, I'm not questioning you.
Manipulation, the person could resort to lies and treachery and deceit. Diplomatic is, like you said, correct context in the right
context. That's what I'm saying. See, whom do you call a diplomat? Somebody who represents the country. You don't call him manipulative. He is talking on behalf of everybody. What is good for the nation? Hold on 1 minute. Please let us understand. You call such a person a diplomat because he is representing a country, and in the welfare of the country he speaks. He puts country before him. In the case of a manipulative person, whether it is a male or a female, he puts herself or himself before the welfare of the community or the family. Are you with me? Supposing there are 7 brothers, 3 daughters, whatever it is, when the things come, objectively you must see, na? No, I must try to get the maximum. So what are they doing? They are manipulating. You are saying, I must follow dharma. What is the dharma there? Intellect. You are not following the dharma. You are actually following adharma. You are following your mind, emotional there. Either, see, that's why I told you, before, in the beginning, if I have told this 1,000 times, when Buddha walked out, he already matured. When he walked out, Siddhartha walked out, he already matured. He couldn't care less who the kingdom goes to. You are not like that. We are all like Arjun. Let us understand this first. That is why I said, we need to study Gita, not Upanishad now. A lot of people say, sir, where are we studying Upanishad class? Are you? First study Gita. Now you are in the condition of sometimes worse than Arjuna case. Now what about Upanishad is going to say something special about it? These things should not really bother. The fact that these things are bothering, we are still not qualified for Upanishads. So anyway, now you are being bothered. 7 brothers, 3 daughters, or ulta, 7 daughters, 3 daughters, whatever may be the situation. When the things are being split, it should be correctly done. That's what we are talking, right? When we say, we talk about cash, we talk about jewelry, we talk about shares, we talk about power, control, sub, right? So usually what do? You call the persons who are qualified, and then everybody sits and does it. But somebody tries to be manipulative. So now you understand that somebody is trying to be manipulative. That also you are saying. But you are saying, I'm going to be keeping quiet. But you want justice to happen also. justice should happen in your terms, right in front of your eyes. You have to use your intellect there. You got to understand the context, how they are doing it. If it's a googly, then you got to play the ball accordingly. If it is a yorker, if it is a bouncer, many times it's better you duck it. Unless you are extremely confident, give it a whack. Otherwise you duck it. So if you understand the context, you know, in a jungle, this is a fox. This is how a fox will behave. You love the fox for what it is. Don't develop hatred. Oh, how can they behave like this? Now, in other words, you want to be the person who should be called as a good person. You also want to show to the world that you are not interested in the wealth. At the same time, you want what is rightfully belonging to you should come to you. And when somebody has manipulated and taken away, then you are sitting and agitated. You are not like Buddha. Then what are you supposed to do? Go, what rightfully belongs to you, get it, use the intellect. If you have to engage somebody who is smart in that thinking there, go there and do it. See, this is what I am saying. When Duryodhan called Yudhishthira to play the game of dice, and Duryodhan said, on my behalf my mama will play. This Yudhishthira did not have the intellect to say, on my behalf Krishna will play. He should have just said that. Now, you will not use your intellect. You know, let me tell you one story. I think I have said this before. Very great devotee of Lord Narayan. All the time, Narayana, 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 he all the time used to say that. And once there was heavy rain pouring and pouring, and the whole village was getting submerged. So the water level was increasing and everybody was escaping, you know. Somebody caught hold of the cot and somebody caught hold of this and that log, and they were calling him. Aray, come, 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 let us go, let us go. He said, no, no, Narayana will come and save me. No, Narayana came, he drowned, then he went to heaven. Judgment day. He said, what kind of God are you? I was all the time only chanting your name, you never came. He said, Aray Baba, I came, I sent so many people to take their help, you never took their help. Why do you expect me to come directly? I sent a guy with logs, I sent a guy with cart, I sent the guy, so many people. So he has given you the intellect. Sabke paas intellect hai. Abhi intellect itna trained nahi hai. Therefore what do? In the context you take the person who is according to you aggressively good and deal with it. Understand, yes, I am interested in the wealth. And I am not interested in somebody else's wealth. What should rightfully come to me? Nothing wrong. I am not a saint as of now. That's fine. So what should rightfully come to me should come to me. And for that, whatever I should do, I'll do. I don't want others to take away my wealth. I don't want others' wealth also. And in this context, let them be fox. I am not going to hate them. I will continue to love them. I'm sorry for their, being fox, but I love them. I use my intellect. So, only strong person can survive. Don't be weak. And then blame God for it. Truthfulness means what? You need to say truthfulness is weak. Truthfulness is being strong. If you have to lose the relationship for the sake of truth, you should be ready for it. Are you ready for it? No, 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 I don't want to be seen as a person who is, behind this. No, if I might have to lose that relationship, what can I do? Are you with me? You see, to be truthful to the body, God forbid if the sugar patient's leg forms gangrene, he should be ready to amputate the feet. In the welfare of the totality. Are you with me? I may still love, the patient may still love the legs, but the legs have become big problem, so he has to cut it off. Are you with me? Exactly the same thing. You have to be strong. Truth means you see that this is the point. To be on the side of the truth means you are saying, I will be on the side of the strength. I have to become strong. I may be cursed, I may be condemned, I can be the, what do you call, person. How many people talk ill about Krishna? Oh, he is a Mayavadi, he did all sorts of things, my God, you know. He couldn't care less. This has to be done, he will do it. Truth ke bina, there is nothing else important. So to stand on the side of the truth, you should be ready for many sacrifices. You don't want to do that. You want to have the cake as well as eat it. How is it possible? And then say, I'm a strong person. A strong person is ready. Not that you want to cut off the relationship, but because you're being strong, if such a thing has to happen, fine. I am not the one who is ready wanting to cut it off. But if such a thing has to happen, I am ready for it any day, is what you should say. Are you with me? You can't help it. In other words, you are saying, I should not be perceived as manipulative. I should be perceived as very good person. I should not speak also. But whatever should come to me should legally come to me. Now, you are talking about a situation where everybody is being fair. That is, and you are also saying, that's not the situation. But how is it going to happen?
Sensibly truthful.
This is what I said. Being sensibly truthful means what? Using the intellect. Sense comes from the intellect,
no? No, what I meant was that when you do diplomatic relations and you do everything and yet you can
see really, sorry, between two countries also, first diplomacy. If diplomacy doesn't work, then what do they do?
War.
What can you do? You should be ready. That's what I'm trying to say. You should be ready to be sacrificing the relationship for the sake of the truth. If you are not still ready for it, you are weak. Then accordingly only the result will be happening. If you have risen above and say, well, this doesn't really matter, then say, okay. Then you will not be sitting and discussing, oh, he's taken away more. Would it matter to you? If it is a big matter to you at the moment, then you better take stock of it and deal with it. Huh?
If you fight
a great relationship,
you're left with not even the
5%.
You're gone. You're out of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But at least then you're happy.
See, first of all, understand this. I have a feeling in all these things that you're... First of all, we need to discuss factually things. Right. When I say what should come to you in the legal way... See, first of all, Savdhan Bedant. Okay, discussion, diplomacy, and giving. Sometimes you may not get control of power, you may get more wealth, you may get more cash, or sometimes you may feel, it's not worth pursuing this fight, let me settle down. Whatever it is, end of the day, you should be satisfied. All I'm trying to say is, you should use your intellect. If you don't use your intellect, it's not going to happen. See, very interesting story I read about. You know, one young boy used to steal rose flowers from the garden of the king. Every day he used to jump and steal lots of roses and then sell it in the market. So one day the soldiers were alerted, you must somehow catch him and bring him to me, said the king. So they caught hold of this guy while he was plucking the roses, flowers. They took the flowers that he had stolen as a proof, and himself, both himself and the flowers, they put him in a gunny bag. And the flowers were also put in the same gunny bag and tied, so that when they go to the king, this is the proof, these are the flowers that he plucked. He was carried. And all along, he was shouting, oh, please leave me, I'm sorry. And they were going along the way of their house. that young boy's house. So the father heard, "Arey, this looks like my son's voice, you know." So father cannot tell the soldiers, "Leave him." So what he did, he was running behind the sack and he is saying in Tamil, "Vaalulla pillai pirakum," which means one who has mouth will escape. One who has mouth will escape. One who has mouth will escape. This is all he said. He kept on saying it. So the son was hearing that and he said, "Arey, my father is giving me some hint." And he got the hint. Then when he went finally in front of the king and they opened the gunny bag, he came out. So the king said, "Where is the proof?" "There is no proof, no rose petals there." "Why?" "He has eaten up everything." So what the father was trying to say is, "Vaayulla pillai pirakkum," one who has mouth will survive. Means one who has intellect will survive. He used the situation. He said, these are the proofs. He ate up everything. He said, "No proof." So he escaped. In other words, what I am trying to say from this example, don't get wrong messages. What this story is saying is, intellect ko prayojan karenge, only then you will survive. Fittest alone will survive. Fittest means the subtle equipment has to be put into use. We are using the gross equipment, the body and mind. Subtle equipment, intellect is not used. Do you know what Vedanta is trying to say? Use your intellect. Buddhi ko prayojan karo. Agar you don't use your intellect, and the other fellow is using the intellect, he is being negative, obviously he will be taking more. In the long run, he may destroy himself. That's a different chapter altogether. We are talking about in the context. Are you with me? So, I don't want to be strong. I want to be weak. Only weakness will get attracted to you. No strength will get attracted to you. So remember this. Devotee of God does not mean he has to be weak. If you are somebody who is a devotee of God, then should you not be strong? If you really have faith in God, what does it mean? What does faith in God means?
Faith in yourself.
He is
your strength.
What does faith in God
mean?
Faith in yourself. Truth will prevail. Mm-hmm. If truth will prevail, why should I get scared of untruth?
But if you make it happen.
That's what, now why will I take the side of untruth? I will go by the truth. I will speak my mind out. In a soft way, but in a firm way. See, many times what happens is, if five people have to sign on a certain agreement, and you think it is not correct, if I don't sign, then these people will stop talking to me. So what do? You also sign. Something like that you are talking about, right? Oh, I lose the relationship. So what are you doing? You are ready to take the side of untruth, no? And you are also calling yourself as God or devotee of God?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
I was saying, if you are a devotee of God, then truth must prevail, no? That should be your conviction. Truth will prevail. That means what? At any cost, I will take the side of the truth. So then I am giving the example of five brothers fighting for wealth or whatever. Then, out of that there is some agreement for which you have to sign. Now you are saying this is untruth. So what will you do? If you are a devotee of God, you will say, "I will not sign. Because this is not fair." Are you with me? Samadhana bheda dhanda. You should be ready. You should be ready to face any consequence. I don't want, remember, beware of entrance to a quarrel. So diplomacy and all that. Just because I am following the route of diplomacy does not mean that I am scared. You remember that story I spoke about a young woman who was a prince was trying to molester in the forest, and she was running to save herself. running to save him, not to save herself. Because she swooned after some time, and the king came to the little water on her face. When she opened her eyes, the prince was reduced to ashes. This is the story. In other words, she was not running away to save herself. She knew she had that power. If he even comes closer and she opens her eyes and looks at him, he will be crushed to ashes. So she was not trying to escape. She was not trying to save herself. She was trying to save the prince. So when everybody follows diplomacy, it's not necessary that they are following diplomacy because they are scared. The other person may think like that. Are you with me? But you still follow diplomacy and you tell them, I am following diplomacy, but if you want to go to the court, I am ready for it. Are you with me? Either you be like Siddharth who walked out of the kingdom and become a sannyasi, or you be a grihastha and play the role with strength. Don't be in between. Neither are you a sannyasi, nor are you a grihastha. Are you with me?
And even if you know that you are not, it's your choice. Because if someone is manipulating you,
yes,
then you are letting them manipulate you.
Yes.
Because whether it's your
weakness,
yes, that you are letting them manipulate you. Or it is you stand up for yourself.
Yes.
That is also your choice. Or if you don't stand up for yourself, it's actually your choice.
Yes.
So it's your
choice. You know, Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives a beautiful story. He says there was a snake in a village which used to bite many villages. So they were all scared and they were running away from it. Once a Mahatma came to that village, he was going towards a mountain to go and sit there and meditate. On the way, a lot of these people, villagers, went and approached him and said, Mahatma, there is a snake which is biting so many people, we don't know what to do with it, why don't you please, do something. So he goes to the snake and he says, why are you doing this? They are harmless people, villagers. Don't do this, don't bite them. So the snake says, okay. When Mahatma went to the mountain to meditate, on the way back, he saw the snake was almost in a dead condition. Almost dead. So Mahatma said, what happened? I followed your advice, that's why this happened. You followed my advice, what happened? You said don't bite them, so I stopped biting them. So what did they do? They started pelting stones on me, started beating me with sticks and all that. That's why I'm like this. So the Mahatma said, I told you not to bite. I never told you not to hiss. So when somebody is manipulative, don't hate them, but hissing is important. Hissing means what? You also follow your intellect. In the context here, hissing means following your intellect. Biting is hatred. Bina, hatred, with love, use your intellect. And love means what? Just understanding their nature. That's why they are like this. You from your side, you do not hate them. Let them hate you. That's their problem.
But you, and then they spread all.
Let them spread. Their what's your problem? How does it matter?
Krishna Rito Sunrata.
Wait, that's what that means.
So, it is not enough being good. You have to be aggressively good. Only the fittest will survive. Fittest means one who puts the subtlest equipment to use. So, with your heart you must have love. With your head you must have clarity. And with your body you must have action. If love, clarity and action can come together, that's the best combination. Physically active, mentally love, and intellectually clear and sharp. You must always be ready to sacrifice anything for the sake of the truth. You can't be strong without sacrifice. Even to win Miss Universe and Miss World, there are a lot of sacrifices to be done. You can eat whatever you want, that lady cannot eat anything. This you cannot eat, that you cannot eat, you know, all sorts of things. So sacrifices ke bina, even worldly achievements are not possible. You should be ready for it. We will do the summary of chapter 2 on Friday when we meet. We haven't even started, so. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.